Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 36. Welcome to our podcast, which wraps up the week's tech news and reviews. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And on this week's show, we've got plenty to talk about, starting with Aldi's new low-cost prepaid mobile plans, Evernote's security breach, and a remarkable new control device. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll talk about the world's fastest desktop printer, a device that will prevent you leaving your valuables behind, and the world's first ultrasonic toothbrush. And in our Tech Guide interview, we'll also talk to Disney Mobile Studio Director Janice Anderson about the new Toy Story Smash It 3D puzzle game. And we'll bring it home with your questions on the Tech Guide help desk. And it's all proudly brought to you by our sponsors Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A packed show, so let's jump right in. Well, there's been a lot of movement in the prepaid mobile market with a lot of SIM-only plans hitting the market of late. And the latest to join the ranks is supermarket Aldi. Now, Aldi's a place where we're used to going to buy everything from groceries to plasma TVs, but they've come up with a brand new market they've just entered, and that's prepaid mobile phone plans. Now, these are BYO plans, which means you need to bring your own smartphone. So if you do already own a smartphone or you're particularly attached to the phone you're using right now and you're looking to get a better value plan, then Aldi have some brilliant choices for you. And the good news is that Aldi resells the Telstra network, much like the Kogan mobile plans also or through the Telstra network. The only thing you're not getting through Aldi is the 4G portion of the Telstra network that's reserved exclusively for Telstra customers. But what Aldi does offer are great low-cost plans for those low-end users and also for users looking for a bit of value. Starting with those low-end users, the light users, let's call them, there are the pay-as-you-go plans, which start as low as $15. There are $15 or $30 recharges. Now, the standout feature of these plans is the fact that your credit actually lasts 365 days. Yes, that's a whole year. So if you've, you're not a huge phone user, you mainly receive calls, you might may make sense, send the odd text or call, that credit is going to last you a long time because other operators only offer 30 days of credit. So after 30 days, you use it or lose it. You need to recharge and pay again, and then in another 30 days, it'll run out. But the beauty of the Aldi plan is the pay-as-you-go, you got a whole year to use it. Now, if you're a heavier user, there is an all-in-one, all-you-can-eat unlimited plan, and that's $35 per month, and that lasts you 30 days, that credit. And for that, you get unlimited calls to national fixed lines, mobiles, all of the above. Calls to 1300, 1800 numbers as well, access to voicemail, unlimited texts, and 5 gigabytes of data. Very generous. Not quite as good as Kogan. Kogan offers $29, all of the same offerings, but 6 gig of data. but this goes pretty close. The beauty of Aldi's plan, though, is that you can actually buy the SIM card in the store or through their website, and you can recharge it in store as well. So for those who are not comfortable going online doing it, maybe with those lighter users who just want to recharge whenever they're buying their groceries, then this is the plan for them. But the unlimited plan also offers great value as well. They've also got a mobile internet plan if you want to use a SIM card in a tablet. But these plans are available this week. We're recording on March the 4th. The service is available from March the 6th, which is this week. So if you're in the market for, if you've already got a smartphone that you like, or you might have just bought a phone outright, as many people are doing nowadays, then you are looking to put a SIM card inside it. Aldi Mobile is a great way, great place to start. Well worth it. Well worth a look. We've got the full plans and all their offerings at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Now, there are plenty of users of a handy product called Evernote. Now, this is an online cloud storage system that is a great place to store your documents and allow you then to access them on multiple devices. Well, that's all well and good, but over the weekend, Evernote actually suffered a security breach. They were the victim of a security attack. An intruder or intruders actually successfully penetrated into their system. And while Evernote says that there was no content or payment information that was compromised, they did admit that the intruders did gain access to things like usernames and email addresses, as well as encrypted passwords. Now, the encrypted passwords would have been gobbledygook to these intruders, these hackers. So there's no way they were compromised, but usernames and email addresses were. And as a precaution, Evernote sent out a wide email to all of their users suggesting everybody reset their passwords as a precaution. As they said, there was nothing was compromised, but the fact that these intruders managed to get in the system and view that information is a little bit of a worry, and hence the need to get the word out to all of their users to reset the password. Now, Evernote's a sort of app that you can use, for example, on your iPad, your iPhone, or even on your computer. You create a document, you can post it up to Evernote, and then that document is accessible to from any device that you happen to be using at the time. There are other subsidiary applications that feed into Evernote. One in particular is LiveScribe, the Wi-Fi pen that we've spoken about on the program. It can record all its notes on the special notepads, and those notes can also be automatically sent up to Evernote. LiveScribe also joined in the email that went around to all the members yesterday, suggesting people reset their passwords, and also showed a way that LiveScribe customers can also can still coordinate their documents and sync that with Evernote with their new password. So a little bit of a worry there, but the good news is that nothing sensitive got out. No one's payment information was hacked, so nobody lost any money. But I think the Evernote are now busily trying to find out where these people got into their system, and no doubt are patching that up quick smart. But if you have got an Evernote account and you haven't reset your password, I think it'd be a great idea to do so. Now, we cover a lot of products at techguide.com.au, and in my many years as a technology writer, I've written about a lot of amazing products, but the one I'm about to talk to you about would have to be on the short list, of the most amazing devices that I've seen. It's called the Myo, and that's spelled M-Y-O. I don't know if it stands for anything, but that's the name that this product has been given. Now, to give you a brief explanation of what it is, it looks like a bracelet, but it actually fits on the top of your forearm, so not quite, just below the elbow on your forearm. And it is a strap that can actually record, that can read the electrical activity of your muscles in your arm, so that it can detect the smallest finger movement, hand gesture, and wave of the arm, and translate that and send it wirelessly to a computer, a device that you want to control. The video that I've embedded on my story on Tech Guide is remarkable, the amount of things you can do. An example would be a gentleman snaps his fingers and that activates iTunes on his computer. He makes a swirling motion with his finger and turns up the volume, waves left and right to navigate pages on a spreadsheet or on a presentation or a web browser. There's also a guy flying an AR drone. That's that four-bladed copter, simply by moving his hand in front of his body. So this is a product that links wirelessly with Bluetooth to the particular device, whether it's could be a smartphone, a Windows or a Mac PC, and then you're able to program whatever application or activity you want to do, whether it's browsing content, playing a video, controlling other devices. Then the Myo has an API, which is the application programming interface, that can work in with those other applications. A great use too, that's also showcased on the video, is a person standing in front of a TV screen playing a first-person shooter game, and he's simply got his hand in the shape of a gun and squeezing his finger like it's a trigger, and the Myo is actually picking up all those electrical impulses through his muscle movements and translating that to create a controller. Simply by the person using his hand as the gun. It is remarkable. You should check out the video at techguide.com.au. The device, it'll be priced at $149 US. It'll be delivered late 2013. So they're taking pre-orders right now. I've already put my pre-order in. $149 US plus US $10 shipping. So that's $159 for this quite remarkable product. Now, words can't really do it justice. You really need to see the video at techguide.com.au to really get a sense of what it's all about.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly brought to you by Netgear. Do you want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home? Well, now you can with Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi gear. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear D6300 Wi-Fi modem router, which delivers next generation gigabit Wi-Fi, which is up to three times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. NBN ready and great for streaming HD video, Netgear's family of 802.11ac products provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile gadgets in every corner of your home. It comes with a Netgear Genie app that makes installation easy and lets you view and play all of your digital photos, music, and movies on your smartphone, tablet, or PC, or smart TV. You can find out more at netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Okay, let's kick off the Tech Guide review section of the program with a printer from HP. Now, printers aren't always the sexiest product to talk about, but this one is an exception. The HP OfficeJet X is the fastest desktop printer in the world. So fast that it's actually been recognized by the Guinness Book of Records. So you can't argue with that. Speeds of up to 70 pages per minute the OfficeJet Pro X can produce. So that's really does something for your productivity. It certainly speeds things up around your home office, small or medium business. But it doesn't stop there. It not only is it fast, it also can cut down on waste costs as well. Now, how does it print out the pages so fast, you might be asking? Well, it uses a technology called PageWide technology. Now, what this means is that it actually, the print head remains stationary in the printer, and it's the paper that moves. So it can increase the speed. All four inks are applied on the moving sheet of paper at once. So not only does it increase the speed, it also makes it less noisy to print as well. Now, the product is also an Energy Star product, and it can save you energy. It uses up to 50% less energy, and also 50% less waste when using the HP cartridges on the device. And that can, we're comparing it to a laser printer too, so twice the speed of a laser printer and half the running costs of a similarly priced laser printer. That's the HP OfficeJet X. There are other printers in the range too, the OfficeJet Pro 251DW and the OfficeJet Pro 276DW. Those last two that I just mentioned are going to be released later in March, but the OfficeJet X is available right now, priced at $599 for the single function model and $799 for the MFP, which is multi-function printer. So if you're really feeling the need for speed with your printers, then I think the HP OfficeJet X is certainly one to keep an eye out for.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Are you a forgetful person? Would you call yourself that? Or do you know people that are very forgetful, that may leave their phones behind or other valuables behind when they leave a restaurant or a cafe or places like that? Well, it has been a problem that plagues a lot of people. That have often left their phones or other items behind at a restaurant, in a cab, various places. Now, you probably think, well, what's something I can do about this? Well, there is something you can do about it right now. It's with a product from Kensington called the Proximo. Now, what the Proximo is, the Proximo consists of two little products. It has a small fob and also a small tag. Now, a fob is something that you can connect to valuables. A tag is something you can put on your key rings. And it's also it's powered by the Proximo iPhone app. So it's an iPhone, iPad product only, coming soon to Android. But how it works is this. It uses Bluetooth. So if you've got your iPhone, for example, with the app running, and you've got your keys attached to the Proximo tag, these two devices are linked with Bluetooth. Now, what happens if you leave one of the devices behind? You might have your phone in your pocket and you leave your keys behind, or vice versa. You might have your keys in your pocket with the Proximo tag and you leave your phone behind. You can program the device to set up an alarm that triggers the moment these two devices break the Bluetooth range of about 10 meters. So think of it like this. You've left your phone in a restaurant and you're walking back to your car with your keys in your pocket attached to the Proximo tag. The Proximo tag, once it breaks that 10-meter range, is going to alarm. It's going to make some noise to say, hey, hang on a minute, you've forgotten something behind. You can immediately walk back to the restaurant and collect your phone. And it works the other way too. If you've left your keys behind, the phone will make the alarm. You can also attach it to things like bags and other valuables as well. The good thing about it too is that if you might not have heard the alarm when you're walking back to your car, the app actually can tell you the last place though that the product and the tag, the app and the tags were linked. So to give you a location on a map where those products were last seen together. You can track up to five different devices using the Proximo, and the starter kit is priced at $59.95. That comes with a fob and a tag. The app is free to download. You can buy additional tags for $29.95 each. So if you are the forgetful type, then this is the kind of product that could prevent you leaving your devices and values behind ever again. If you want to read up that story, it's on techguide.com.au. Well, it's not every day that Tech Guide reviews electric toothbrushes. It's actually, we've reviewed two electric toothbrushes on Tech Guide. The most recent was only last week, and it was a product called the EmiDent 6. Now, there has to be a fair bit of technology involved with a product once it crosses the Tech Guide desk, and the EmiDent 6 certainly does tick those boxes. The reason for that is that it's the world's first electric toothbrush that uses ultrasound to keep your teeth clean. Now, what a normal electric toothbrush does, it has got a brush head that moves hundreds of times a minute to brush your teeth clean, vigorously cleaning your teeth, getting all the dirt out from your teeth and between your teeth. It's with quite a bit of abrasive action. But what the EmiDent 6 does is it actually uses ultrasound to do the heavy lifting. The ultrasound in the EmiDent 6, which is a German-made product, there are actually 96 million oscillations per minute, which actually can destroy germs and bacteria that are not only found possibly on your teeth, but also on your gums. So it cleans right down to your gums. So it can even clean places where even flossing can't reach. Thing with this, though, when we tested it here, when you're first using the EmiDent 6, weeks, it doesn't feel like the toothbrush is doing much. That's because the ultrasound is doing all the work. It's not through vigorous brushing, heavy brushing, that it's getting your teeth clean. It's the ultrasound that's doing the work. So that's an advantage because you're getting the thorough clean that's a lot gentler on your teeth and gums. And a particular advantage too, if you happen to maybe wearing braces, if you've got dentures or crowns, or you've got a veneer where heavy brushing may damage or hurt the person who's got them. So we found that when we were using the Emudent 6, there was a lot less bleeding in our gums, hardly any at all, as a matter of fact, because it was quite gentle on your mouth. It's the ultrasound that's doing all the work. But what we found, though, is that you do need to brush a little longer. You need to brush about 5 minutes for the Emudent 6 to really take effect. It says that in the instruction book, though. I thought, well, when I first used it, I thought, this isn't doing anything. But then I realized that the ultrasound needs a few minutes to really do to weave its magic. It also comes with it's got two brush heads, but also comes with a special toothpaste as well. It's called Nano Bubble Toothpaste, which has no abrasive particles inside. So it really does give you a thorough clean, yet gentle clean. So no more bleeding, very gentle on your dentures, crowns, braces, and veneers if you do happen to have them. The Emudent 6 Professional is priced at $235. It isn't cheap, but it certainly does the trick. It does a gentle clean on your teeth using that ultrasound. 96 million oscillations a minute. That is a lot. But check it out. There's a full story and review at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
Our Tech Guide interview this week is with Disney Mobile's head developer, Janice Anderson. He's just completed work on a fun new game called Toy Story Smash It. Now, this is a 3D puzzle game that's for iPhone and iPad and uses all the Toy Story characters, mainly Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear is doing all the work. And the object of the game is to knock down these structures there's aliens sitting on top of these structures. And you can move around the puzzle. So it's probably go about 180 around the puzzle. So you can change the angle where Buzz Lightyear throws balls and balloons at the puzzle so that you can knock down the aliens and score as many points using as few balloons or bubbles as possible. Now, I can hear what you're saying. This sounds like Angry Birds with a Disney theme. It is slightly similar, the whole idea of knocking down, in this case, aliens off their structures rather than the pigs in Angry Birds. But the difference here, there are a few differences with the ability to move around the puzzle, so it gives it a bit more of a 3D effect. There's a bit more strategy involved here depending on the type of material you're aiming the balls and balloons at towards. There's glass that breaks, there's metal that needs to be hit in the right space. But there's also, apart from throwing balls, there's also balloons. So what happens, you throw the balloon at the puzzle, and once it reaches its target, you press a button and the balloon inflates and then scatters the pieces everywhere. So there's a bit more thinking, a bit more of a challenge involved here. There's plenty of levels, and I think there's 59 levels over four different chapters with plenty more to come. But we had a chat to Janice Anderson, and this is what he had to say to us earlier. So, Janice, tell us about Toy Story Smash It, an exciting new Disney title that uses all the Toy Story characters.
Yeah, we're super excited about this. It's kind of a 3D puzzle shooter game. It's coming out of Prague. These guys have been working really hard on it for quite a long period of time. Extremely kind of happy with the way that the thing has come together. We've had a lot of excitement from Pixar. They've been extremely helpful in the development process, and they kind of gotten through the final sign-offs, and we think the product's going to be amazing.
And how helpful is it having a property like Toy Story to work with, those brilliant characters that known the world over? That certainly makes your job easier, I'm sure.
Oh, immensely. You know, the tough part of the equation is figuring out how to, you know, portray those characters in their best light. You know, everybody loves these characters so much. So we really want to bring all the magic that comes from Pixar into the game. And so I think in some ways it makes our life a lot easier, in some ways a bit more challenging.
So, well, let's dive into the game. I understand there's some new technology that you're showcasing in the game. It's been described to me as house-breaking physics. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, certainly. It's a kind of a physics puzzler, somewhere between a puzzle and kind of a destruction game. You know, you're basically throwing balls into an environment. All the toys have gotten together on a rainy day and decided to, you know, build lots of interesting structures for you to destroy as part of the plot. And it has a full 3D engine behind it, which is beautiful and actually performs very well on almost all the devices. And so you spend a ton of the game, you know, basically tearing down the environments, trying to use, you know, as few balls and the right angles and trajectories as possible to kind of, you know, reach the goals. So that about sums it up?
That does, yes. And there's a fair few levels, I understand, like 59 levels, 4 episodes. So there's plenty of gameplay in Toy Story, isn't there?
Yeah, certainly. There are 4 episodes, 59 levels, and certainly more to come. We will not be stopping development on this anytime soon. So expect lots of level packs and additional content soon after launch.
And I understand you play as Buzz Lightyear in the game. So what was the choice? Why did you choose Buzz? I suppose the alien theme, I suppose, was Buzz over Woody, yeah. Although the other characters make appearances.
All the characters make appearances to some degree. It's focused on Buzz, like you said, and then there's aliens. And, you know, it's kind of the initial theme was kind of around Zurg and aliens, and you know, that has morphed a bit over the development. But ultimately, you know, we're starting with Buzz. I think there's a good chance it will bring additional characters into the game at some point in the near future.
Okay. And did any of the original actors lend their voices, or you got other actors in for that?
We actually used the voiceovers that have kind of been previously made. So it's not a dialogue-heavy game in the sense that, you know, we had to do new voice recordings for it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But all the actual voices are from the original.
From the films. Okay. Well, that's the real thing.
Yep.
Now, what about, you mentioned it's like a smash 'em down sort of game. Are there going to be any comparisons, do you think? Are people going to call this the Disney version of Angry Birds, do you think? How are they going to react to that?
You know, I'm certain people will initially think that until you play it, but you'll find that the 3D mechanics in the game pretty much make it, you know, a widely different kind of a property. There is certainly a destruction part and a puzzle part, but, you know, having the puzzles in kind of a 3D space adds a kind of a new level of interesting complexity, I think.
I'm sure. Let's have a chat. I understand you've got quite a history in game development. You must have seen quite a bit of change over the, 20 years you've been in the industry?
Yeah, I've been making games a very long time.
Sorry to make you feel old there, Janice, but anyway.
Yeah, there's always new platforms, new. It's like every time we make a game, we have to reinvent the wheels, the way it feels. But I love it.
Okay, well, how is it now? Obviously, touchscreen devices are king at the moment. How has it changed? Is it easier or harder to create a game without physical controls?
I think it really depends on what you're trying to do. There are physical controls. You know, interacting with the screen is a very natural motion for a lot of people.
Yep.
So for some types of things, you know, like panning around an environment, it's very easy and natural. But obviously, to do complex controls like you would have on a traditional console, you could never make games, I think, with that level of kind of control interaction, because it would just become too complicated for, you know, our players.
And are there any plans to bring out some other Pixar properties for certain games in the future?
We are certainly working on other Pixar properties, but I can't really talk about those at the moment.
Okay, so what?
We all love Pixar, and we'll be making more Pixar games.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, Toy Story is a great choice to begin with. What was it that that made that the obvious choice for you guys?
I think there's just a general love for Toy Story and our kind of development group in general. And it seemed a natural fit for the type of game that we wanted to do.
And is this game, obviously it's going to really appeal to the younger audience, but do you see a lot of adults also picking this up?
I think so. Everybody I've handed the game to absolutely loves it. So I don't think it's really age related. It should appeal to a very broad audience.
Let me just get your take on technology just in general. The tablet market has really exploded. Where do you, what do you think, like a couple of questions for you. Where do you think that the tablet space is going? And secondly, what's the sweet spot for the screen size, do you think?
I don't know about a sweet spot for the screen size because I personally like, you know, I like bigger devices. My girlfriend likes smaller ones. So it's going to be tough to see, you know, what people like best. I think tablets themselves are certainly, I've heard that they're overtaking the PC sales this year. So they're going to become, you know, the first platform of choice, I think, in the future for people to consider developing on. And I could see a lot of reasons why. You know, I carry one around with me at all times, and I love having, you know, the accessibility of, you know, just having it there with me. Yeah, I mean, I see great things for the tablet market and for games on tablets. Obviously, the market's maturing very quickly.
Well, thank you for your time, Janice. That was really interesting. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Stephen. And very much looking forward to having everybody playing the game tomorrow.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, there's a lot of people who are tossing up between buying a tablet or a laptop computer. And most people recently have actually gone down the tablet route. They've chosen a tablet as their main device to either for gaming, for email, browsing, and also for productivity. And some of that productivity that people want to use, there's many people who may have worked on, say, Word or Excel documents, and they're after a way to edit those documents, open them, close them on a device like the iPad, for example. And one of our questions was precisely that. How do I open Word and Excel documents on an iPad? Well, it is quite simple. Only recently, Apple's very own apps, which is Pages and Numbers, were enhanced to increase their compatibility with Word and Excel documents. Apple recognized the fact there are a lot of users out there who work on these Microsoft Office applications, especially Word and Excel, and PowerPoint for that matter as well. And the Apple's own opposite numbers, let's call them their own apps, which is Pages, which is all like Microsoft Word, Numbers, which is like Excel, and Keynote, which is kind of like PowerPoint, they were enhanced recently, I'm talking late last year, for even further compatibility with the Microsoft Office applications. So that way users on the iPad can open those documents, work on them, save them as if they were working on them natively on their computer. Now, the big rumor is that in a matter of weeks or even a couple of months, Microsoft are going to actually release native Word, Excel, PowerPoint apps for the iPad. So for that listener who emailed me asking this question, you can do it right now using Apple's applications, Pages, Numbers, and Keynote. You got to pay for them. I think they're $5.99 each. But also down the track, you're probably going to have Microsoft's very own applications and what app could run those type of documents than an app that is actually designed to do so, Microsoft's very own app. So keep an eye out for that. Although in the meantime, you can still do it using Apple's very own apps. They knew that a lot of people wanted to access these type of documents on the fly, which is why they increased that compatibility. So yeah, you can still do a bit of work on the iPad. And that's all we've got time for this week. You can read more about anything we spoke about in this episode at our website, techguide.com.au. And you can get in touch by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. We love to hear from all of you. Get onto iTunes as well. Give us a rating. You like the podcast, then tell us about it at iTunes. You can also send us your help desk questions to the Tech Guide forum. Thanks too to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. Well, that's a wrap for episode 36. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.